Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
If you respect that vow, but you say, "Look, death do us part," this is the kind of death.
How horrible it would be to turn your back on a spouse when they're most helpless. Makes me wonder what it is that Pat Robertson thinks is essential that a person can contribute that will define them as being alive or not.
If you think the 1.5 billion Muslims are going to consider a 15-story mega mosque in a building that was destroyed in the 9/11 attacks as a mosque of reconciliation, you got to put down the bong water.
This is what God gives in His supper. Present tense forgiveness. Present tense restoration.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices down the line.
See, I went to a Christian college. There was a church across the street. You could just jump over there, and there you were with about 1,000 other students. And I think that congregation subsisted largely on the life that the students brought in there. It was kind of a sheltered way to go to college. If you go to the university in your state, if you go to a college that is not affiliated with any religious organization, well, you got to find some place to go to church, don't you? A lot of times that is filled by so-called campus ministry. What is the future of campus ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? And joining us to talk about that and the proposed sale of the University Lutheran Chapel in Minneapolis, Pastor David Kind will be our guest in the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon. It's September the 26th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. In the second half hour of the program, Tom Numala will join us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson today, picking up on the Joseph story. Joseph is elevated from prison to second in command, and he feeds the whole world according to God's plan. Ken Samples will join us in the second hour of the program. We'll answer the question, is the United States the great Satan? What do Muslims believe when they say this? Not all Muslims believe it or say it, but what do they believe when they do say that America is the great Satan? Now, you can join us with questions or comments over the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can go to our Facebook fan page, become a fan there. We're almost up to 6,000, facebook.com/issuesetc. Now, over the last 5 months, we have made several attempts to schedule an interview with Pastor Lane Seitz. He's the president of the Minnesota South District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, or with a staff member of the district. Now, the Minnesota South District leadership has declined those requests twice, as late as September the 18th. Joining us to talk about the proposed sale of University Lutheran Chapel in Minneapolis and the future of campus ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Pastor David Kind. He's pastor of University Lutheran Chapel in Minneapolis. Pastor Kind, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for inviting me on the show.
Give us a quick history lesson, if you would, about the University Lutheran Chapel there in Minneapolis.
Sure. University Lutheran Chapel is one of the oldest campus ministries in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It was started way back in 1925, where they started a college group that was a chapter of the Walther League. Now, the very next day after that group formed, the Missouri Synod, along with Wisconsin Synod and a couple others, decided they needed to have a chapel and a full-time campus at the U of M. Took them a while to actually make that happen. You had some pretty big events like the Great Depression and World War II that got in the way. But once the war was over, they had a major fundraising campaign, a couple of them actually, that raised money and built the church that we currently occupy, which is University Lutheran Chapel in Minneapolis. So the church was built in 1950, and since that time has been the center of campus ministry for the Missouri Synod at the U of M. I've been pastor here since 2001, and it's what began as a simple campus ministry, student ministry, has developed into a full-fledged campus congregation that really has the welfare of students at its heart and as its ethos.
The Minnesota South District Board of Directors recently sold or decided to sell the property and the building, I believe, where University Lutheran Chapel operates. Does Minnesota South District have the right to sell this property?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Because right now they claim that they do have the right to do it, because the Board of Directors has been given the authority to dispense with district property. However, there's some wrinkles in this, in that it wasn't the Minnesota South District that purchased the property. It was the Minnesota District, which then divided into Minnesota North and Minnesota South. So there's a chance that Minnesota North actually has some claim to be a part of this decision. At the time that the district was divided, the campus property here, the chapel, the student center, was specifically excluded from the division of assets between the two districts. And that's a question we've tried without much success to have brought forward. There's also the question of having the right to do something, and is it right to do it? Oftentimes we might have the right to do something, but it's not the right thing to do. And in this case, where money was clearly raised to have a chapel at the University of Minnesota, to sell the property that money purchased to do other things, seems to me not to be the right thing to do, even if there is a right to do it.
How has the Board of Directors' decision to sell the property affected the congregation immediately?
Well, very deeply, obviously. Everyone's concerned because this is their home. It's not just a property to us. It's our church. It's where where our children have been baptized and where people have been married and students have come in and out of our doors for years and years to go out into the church at large. It's a very vital place to us. So the congregation is distraught. But on the other hand, God uses all things for good. And even now, we're beginning to see some fruits of that, and that the congregation has really pulled together and is more supportive than ever of the campus work that we do and of wanting to remain here and individuals becoming more involved every day.
There has been some kind of church-wide reaction, we might say, in the small pond that is the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod over the district's decision to sell the property there on the campus of the University of Minnesota. How would you respond to someone who says, look, we know how you feel about it, Pastor Kind, but you guys are simply too emotionally tied to a building?
Yeah, I don't think that's what it's about at all. Sure, there are emotional ties to the building. Like I said, this is our home, and we have history here, and that history matters to us. I mean, it's important to be able to look at the font and say, I was baptized there, or at the altar and say, this is where I was wed. But it's much more than that. I think one of the things that separates our campus ministry from many of the others on campus is that we're not Gnostics. We believe that bodily presence matters. I like to say we're sacramental Christians. We believe that Jesus just doesn't come to us spiritually out of nowhere, but he comes to us through means and through agency in the created order. I mean, look at the Old Testament. What did the people need? They needed a place where they could go, where they knew that God was to be found. And so you had the tabernacle, and eventually you had the great desire to build the temple, which God blessed under Solomon. And the greatest tragedy of the nation in its history was the exile when that temple was destroyed. That was the heart of Israel, to lose their place of worship, the place where they met God. It destroyed who they were. In the New Testament, Jesus doesn't just come in a spirit, he comes in a body. He gives us sacraments, physical things that bestow his grace to us. And I like to think of the church building, while not a sacrament that bestows grace, I like to think of it as a sacramental sign, mainly to our community, but also to the faithful. This is the place where you go to meet God, where you know he's going to be found at a certain day and certain time with his means of grace on a consistent basis. That's extremely important, not just to campus ministry, but to churches in general. And throughout the history of the church, that's been the goal, is to build churches where Christians gather. For us, it's also extremely important, just in terms of the student ministry, that the students have a place they can actually get to that's accessible to them and that's visible to them. Again, that's a sign to the campus community that there is a place here in this wasteland of ideas where you can find truth and where you can find Christ.
With only about a minute and a half before we take our first break, Pastor Kind, do you think that you have a fundamental theological difference with the leadership of the Minnesota South District on campus ministry, how it should be carried out?
I think there is a fundamental theological difference, and it goes beyond campus ministry, but this is obviously where it's playing out. It's one of how does the Holy Spirit work? Does he work through the means of grace as Christ has said he would, or does he work through our ingenuity and our gimmicks? We are a congregation that's been committed to the things of Christ and have not bought into any of the gimmicks over the years. Whereas it seems to me that our district leadership is very much bought into an anthropocentric view of how God works and how the gospel spreads.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have 10 more minutes with Pastor David Kind, pastor of University Lutheran Chapel in Minneapolis. The board of directors of the Minnesota South District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod recently voted to sell their property. We're also talking about the future of campus ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. A call-in number live this Monday afternoon, September the 26th, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE. We'll be right back.
Doesn't even sit down and try to figure it out. They just sold me out. For a few shekels more. Didn't even think twice for a few shekels more.
Here's a resource for your high school or college-aged child or grandchild as they begin a new school year. It's Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students. You'll find an introduction with answers to questions like, is the Bible reliable and trustworthy? Who wrote the Bible? And more. You can order Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students.
Yeah. If Issues Etc. refuses to scratch your itchy ears and scratches your old scabs instead, and you love them for it, then Redeemer Lutheran Church is the church in Fort Wayne for you. The only real difference between Issues Etc. and Redeemer is that Todd and Jeff only talk about Jesus. We talk about Jesus, but we also put him into people's mouths. We drive off demons with water. We are the church, and yes, we serve Jell-O in the basement.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Y'all been hearing about Country Bob's all-purpose sauce and how it tastes great on any and everything you may be cooking and serving at your family dinner table. Well, over the years, I've discovered that Country Bob's is much more than that. You see, Country Bob's is that secret ingredient in many of my recipes, whether it be for chili soups or stews or that favorite marinade for the select meat of the day we're grilling. If you're interested in discovering the secret, log on to countrybobs.com and check out their blog. Exchange recipes or buy yourself a Country Bob's cookbook and become part of the Country Bob's family. And remember, it all comes down to the sauce.
How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the proposed sale of University Lutheran Chapel in Minneapolis and the future of campus ministry in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, talking with Pastor David Kine, pastor of University Lutheran Chapel in Minneapolis. Now, I should mention again that over the last 5 months, we have made several attempts to schedule an interview with Pastor Lane Seitz. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Minnesota South District, or a staff member of the district, and district leaders have declined those requests twice as late as September the 18th. Pastor Kind, let's talk a little bit about plans in the future. What are the plans of University Lutheran Chapel?
Well, our plans are to continue to fight in the short term for our place on campus. We are hopeful that we will still be able to save our church and remain where we are. But failing that, we are looking at all kinds of contingencies, hoping to remain on campus, whether that be in a rented place or building a new building, or being further off campus and having to try to work a way to still connect with the students, which I think will be very difficult. But we're not dying. We're not going away. Our people are very committed.
When University Lutheran Chapel was founded decades ago, I think it's fair to say that the student population was far less mobile than they are nowadays. Make the case that for University Lutheran Chapel to continue its campus ministry, it needs to be at or near the University of Minnesota.
Sure. It's true that there are many more commuter students today than there used to be. And frankly, the majority of the commuter students that we meet at ULC are not the ones that come to church here on a regular basis. They might come for an event or two or something like that. And I suppose relocating wouldn't have a big effect on them. But there are countless students at the U of M who do not have cars, who don't have transportation, and most of our students walk to church. We provide rides for them as well from the dorms, but they're, it's a short ride. And only a few of them take advantage of that. So I think, the location is still vital. And it allows us to continue to be part of the university community as well, as opposed to just a place people drive to on the weekend to go to church.
As far as you can tell, what does the Minnesota South District Board of Directors plan to do with the revenue from selling University Lutheran Chapel property?
Yeah, they have a plan to put the money into an endowment fund for the sake of campus ministries around the district, with the idea being that we no longer have full-time campus workers, whether they be pastors or DCs or what have you, and that we no longer have campus properties or buildings, but that the students on campus, in conjunction with some sort of local congregation, organize themselves into a campus ministry. Again, with the leadership of the congregation to do that near them, the money then from that's put into that endowment fund is going to go toward hiring a campus ministry coordinator for the whole district, and then granting $5,000 grants to various congregations that are going to attempt to do campus ministry at whatever campus they're near, whether it's a community college or a smaller school or what have you. The problem with that is, they tried this before. At one time, at the high point of the campus ministries in the district, we had 9 different campus ministries that followed this model, and none of them exist anymore. It's proven true over time that if you don't have dedicated staff in a dedicated place, the campus ministries just don't do that well. And in the places where town gown ministries do flourish, it's because they have a real dedication to it, and they put money behind it and people behind it, a lot more than $5,000.
Are you also concerned that that model, that proposed model of campus ministry, is in effect one step removed from altar and pulpit, from
absolutely.
Font.
No, absolutely. This is what I was alluding to earlier when I said we're not Gnostics. We don't believe in just a spiritualized Jesus. The place matters because the things that happen in the place matter. And for it to be a true word and sacrament ministry, there has to be a place where the word is proclaimed and the sacrament given. Now, at the University of Minnesota, there are no local congregations near the campus that could do that. We are the only congregation here. So you sell the building and cause a congregation to move off campus. You no longer have that sacramental presence at the fourth largest university in the United States.
I want your thoughts on some of the reaction that has come to the board of directors' decision to sell the property there. What kind of pastoral word of caution would you speak to those who are anxious to react to it? Obviously, many are anxious to react to it. Some of it's lighthearted. Some of it is more serious. But what pastoral word of caution would you speak?
I think we need to remember that we're still dealing with brothers and sisters in Christ. Though they be misguided, though I think it's clear the devil is at work in his church to undo the work of Christ, we still need to deal gently and in a brotherly manner with those that we disagree with. That doesn't mean backing down, but it does mean treating them as Christians.
How do you respond to those who say that it was inappropriate for you to grant access to the media? I think you've been on television at least once, and I've read you several times in print since the board of directors' decision.
That was a question that I really struggled with myself, and I talked with my elders about it here at the chapel. Just how involved do we want the media to be in this? And at first, we avoided that sort of thing. We wanted to work purely within church channels, but when it was clear that we were not being given a place at the table and the discussion could not happen, we decided we needed to address our community as well. Because if the loss of a chapel on campus is not only a loss to our church body, but it's a loss to the university community. It's a loss to the character of the place. We're a voice for the truth here. We're a voice for good. We're a voice for morality. You lose that, you're losing a big part of what makes the community a livable and good place. So with that in mind, we thought the media needed to know, that the community needed to know what we were enduring here and try to step up and help us.
Do you think that you've gotten a fair hearing from the Minnesota District Board of Directors and from President Seitz?
No, I don't. The majority of the decisions that have been made have been made with discussions done in executive session or under the cover of confidentiality. The last two times when they voted on things and had discussion ahead of time, I asked to be present. Each time they went into executive session in order to basically force us out of the discussion. We don't think this is the way Christians should act toward one another. We need to be able to sit down at the table as brothers and sisters in Christ and work things out. But simply to act in a manner of power is, that's not helpful to the Christian church.
How do you explain that? How do you explain the what appears to be an attempt to either keep you uninformed or cut you out of the discussion?
Well, I think that there's a couple of aspects to this. One is they know that we don't go down without a fight, that we believe in what we're doing here, and we're going to stand for it. So the more that they can do this without our interference, the easier it is for them. But on the other hand, I think they don't want to face the issues that are at hand here. And they know that there are deep theological issues between our congregation and the leadership of the district, and that there's a long history of I don't want to say animosity, but of struggling against one another in some of these things that they'd rather not have to deal with. It's much easier simply to exercise power than to live graciously with one another.
What do you think the sale of the property there at University Lutheran Chapel is going to mean for the future of University Lutheran Chapel?
It's hard to say, Todd. I think it's, on the one hand, it's going to be a difficulty. If the property is sold and we have to move, we don't know how close we'll be able to be to campus. We're struggling mightily to raise money right now to hopefully purchase the property, which is a real long shot at $3.2 million. or to have money to relocate. And that's it's off to a slow start, but we've made some progress. I think despite all these things, though, we're moving forward in the trust that Christ always works things to the good of his faithful people, and that he will bring good out of this one way or the other, despite what others may intend.
Finally, then, what do you think the sale of University Lutheran Chapel's property signals for the future of campus ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? You only got about 30 seconds here, Pastor Kai.
Well, I think our chapel has, because of its age and because of the impact it's had on the Synod over the years, is sort of a flagship campus ministry. And I know a lot of the other campus workers and campus pastors are looking at this situation saying, if they can do this to University Lutheran Chapel, one of the most successful and longest-lived campus ministries, what's going to become of ours? It really speaks to our commitment to the youth and to the college students. If we abandon the places where they are, we need to be there for these young people.
Pastor David Kind is pastor of University Lutheran Chapel in Minneapolis. We will provide a link at our website to University Lutheran Chapel with the latest updated information. Issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Kind, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd.
I should mention in closing, as I have before, that over the last 5 months, we have made several attempts to schedule an interview with Pastor Lane Seitz, president of the Minnesota South District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, or with a member of his staff there. The leadership of the Minnesota South District has declined those requests twice as late as September 18th. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Tom Numala of Concordia Publishing House, picking up the Joseph story, where Joseph is in an Egyptian prison interpreting dreams. Next thing he knows, he's running Egypt. We'll see what it all means after this.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church. Faithful confession trumps company loyalty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Adult stem cell treatments continue to make news, this time with a high-profile patient. Peyton Manning, quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, has had 3 neck surgeries and has been unable to play this season. Peyton recently traveled to Europe to have another surgery, this time with adult stem cells. Recently, Texas Governor Rick Perry had a similar surgery. Hopefully, both men will be talking about their experiences. The more publicity this issue gets, the less likely people will resort to embryonic stem cell experimentation, which kills human embryos in the process. Over 2,000 adult stem cell clinic trials have been approved by the FDA. Peyton's surgery wasn't one of them, so he went to Europe. Pray for their healing, and pray it will result in more respect for life.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.